From Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, William Penn's Greentown, entrepot of ideologies, it's Avenue G. Made possible by the generous support of the eponymous consonant and other letters like you.
Well, thank you, Andy. That was a tremendous introduction. Your enunciation, your vocal resonance, and your vocabulary, they're all very impressive. In a world of tweets and text, that sort of command of language is really exceptional.
Thank you, Jim. I feel that it is incumbent upon me to uphold the highest standards of broadcast delivery.
It makes me feel like I'm part of a professional and prestigious operation dedicated to...
efficacious communication of information?
Yeah, sure. Kind of like the BBC.
Ah, the BBC, the pinnacle, the gold standard, the world's oldest national broadcasting organization. Its motto, Nation Shall Speak Peace Unto Nation.
You sure know a lot about it. Maybe you should go work there.
It would be the fulfillment of a lifelong dream, Martha. But a lot of people have that dream, and only the privileged few, the best and most devoted to their craft, can realize it. The odds of that happening are about the same as the odds of being struck by lightning.
Hey, everybody, guess what?
Hey, Ed, what?
I was just struck by lightning, and I got an offer to audition for a job with the BBC.
What? That's fantastic, Ed. Tell me all about it.
Well, first, all my hair stood on end. Then I felt like a jolt, kind of like a chug in a Red Bull.
Whoa. Tell me about the BBC. It's so weird. Andy and I were just talking about it.
You were invited to audition?
Yeah, they heard me on the show.
Why would they invite you?
They must have tuned in that time Ed filled in as announcer when you had laryngitis, Andy.
Right, after Donald Trump punched you in the neck.
It was all your fault, Ed. Trump profiled me as a Mexican because you insisted that we wear serapes.
My fault? As I recall, you were excited when I offered you a serape.
I thought they were those little pastries they served at fancy parties.
Oh, those are canapes. Didn't you think it was strange when Ed said he was going to wear one?
Ed's wearing French toast in his mustache right now. So no, I didn't.
The BBC. Just think about it.
All's I want is sufficient pay to keep the repo man away. With a 401k, I wonder if they'll hire me. A press pass from the BBC, Theresa May taking calls from me. I might learn to drink tea, I would, if they'll hire me. I'd say, begging your pardon, blimey bollocks, cheers and mates. Best of all, I travel free out of the United States. Hi there, Ed, they would say to me. Show me their hospitality. And best of all, it's free. I would be if they hired me. Hired me. Hired me. Hired me. Hired me.
Well, this is a big opportunity, Ed. How are you going to prepare for your audition?
Prepare? What do you mean?
So much for excellence and devotion to craft.
Ed, you've heard the BBC, right? No one sounds like, well, you.
I wonder if he has heard the BBC.
Ed, no one in broadcasting anywhere has an American regional accent, especially the Philadelphia accent.
You know, come to think about it, everybody on TV and radio does talk funny.
You could get coaching from someone skilled at proper pronunciation and verbal delivery.
Geez, I'll know anybody like that.
Andy, would you like a cough drop? Ed, the perfect person is really close by.
Who?
Lady Edna Tweed Pratt. She runs the English Elocution Solutions Studio in Sconery.
Yeah, Ed, if you really want this job, you should get some lessons with her before your audition.
Thanks, guys. I will. I want to be ready.
Absolutely. You just need a few cosmetics.
Yeah, a little nip and tuck.
Ed is a native, lifelong Philadelphian. His blood is red and his open collar's blue. He is a native, lifelong Philadelphian. But with a little nip and and tuck with a little shine and buff. He'll be ready to report for you.
With a little nip, with a little nip, with a little nip and tuck, he just might do. Ed will need to learn to charm the English against the likes of Doctor Who and Bond. Ed is not the sort to charm the English, but with a little nip and tuck, with a little shine and buff, he will make a splash across the pond. With a little nip, with a little nip, with a little nip and tuck, he'll make a splash.
He doesn't shop for Nam and Masons, but with what's in his Walmart cart, we'll make him smart.
A monarch sets the standard for a language, so Ed should speak the way the royals do. Ed's got to learn to speak the royal language, but with a little nip and tuck, with a little shine and buff, they'll believe he's speaking English too. With a little nip, with a little nip, with a little nip, and tuck, he'll speak it too. With a little nip, with a little nip, with just a little nip and tuck.
It is polite to behave like a local, do as the Romans do when one's in Rome. A Philly guy is not like British locals, but with a little nip and tuck, if it seems that he's in luck, he'll go to Kensington and feel at home.
With a little nip, with a little nip, with a little nip and tuck, he'll feel at home. The pub is where reporters meet their sources to bend an ear or maybe wag a chin. We shouldn't leave Ed to his own resources, but with a little nip and tuck, when he tells him bottoms up, he'll trade bourbon for some English gin.
With a little nip, with a little nip, with a nip of their own English gin. Although Ed calls the tube the subway, with just a little nip and tuck, he'll do okay.
He doesn't even have a British passport.
Oh, no.
He doesn't know a duchess from a prince. He doesn't even have a British passport. But with a little nip and tuck, with a little shine and buff, he'll be close enough to just convince. With a little nip, with a little nip, with a little nip and tuck, will fix him up. With a little nip, Ed can be a Brit, with just the proper nip and tuck.
What you must recognize, Mr. Feldman, is that there are certain idiosyncratic regional phonemes that definitively identify a speaker with his or her place of origin. Those associated with the Philadelphia American accent are particularly distinctive. They serve as a distraction to the listener, interfering with the content of speech. They must be eliminated.
Okay, but I don't have an accent.
Oh, my dear Mr. Feldman, would you care for some liquid refreshment?
Thanks, Lady Edna. A glass of water would be great.
My point exactly, Mr. Feldman. If you had requested a glass of water, I could have focused on the content of your request rather than the manner of your delivery. Do you understand?
Well, I understand that I somehow kept you from understanding that I wanted a glass of water, because I still don't have one.
Mr. Feldman, if you wanted to transfer a waxy pigment onto paper, what would you use?
You mean if I wanted a color, like in a coloring book? I'd get crayons. I go right down to the dollar store and get some crayons. Want to go with me?
Mr. Feldman, please listen closely to and repeat the following phrases. I am going down to the shore with my family.
I'm going down the shore with my family.
Do you like to color using crayons?
You like to color using crayons.
I would like to have a glass of water.
I would like to have a glass of water.
Fasten your seatbelt. We're in for a bumpy ride.
You like to tell him he's in trams? I would like to have a glass of water.
Let's try something different. I want you to exaggerate the proper sounds by trying to pronounce them while holding marbles in your mouth. Like this. I would like to have a glass of water. Now, listen to me again. I'm going with my family down to the shore.
Can you say it again?
Mr. Feldman, I've repeated the phrases and heard you speak them incorrectly so many times that I fear I no longer know which way is correct.
I'm sorry, Lady Edna. Can I hear it just one more time?
I'm going with my family down ashore.
I think I got it! I think I got it.
I'm going with my family down ashore.
I think I got it. Now say once more, where will I tour?
Down ashore, down ashore.
And where's the fun in store?
The shore, the shore.
I'm going with my family down.
When Mary, Mary, married.
She married, Mary, Mary.
I like my water in a glass. Where is it that your spirits soar?
Down ashore, down ashore.
And where your feet get sore?
The shore.
Hi, Jim. Would you like a scone?
Oh, sure. Where'd you get them?
Lady Edna Tweed Pratt's English Elocution Solution Studio and Sconery. They're having a closeout sale.
Yeah. Now that she talks like Ed, she lost her credibility as a linguist. I don't know if she'll ever work again. It's sad.
Speaking of which, how are we going to get Ed to lose his Philadelphia accent so that he can work for the BBC?
Well, the only person I know who could help him on this short notice is Andy.
Yeah, Andy has a great announcer's voice, and no trace of a Philadelphia accent.
Well, that's because he's from Canada.
Yeah, but he doesn't sound Canadian either. I've never once heard him say, I'm going out in a boat.
True, but he's been out of sorts lately, or should I say out of sorts, especially when the topic of Ed and the BBC come up.
I wonder why. Well, it can't hurt to ask him to give Ed some coaching. The audition is tomorrow, so Andy is Ed's last hope.
Now is the winter of our discontent, made glorious summer by that Philadelphian. This should have been my moment, my dream, my chance to live the life my amazing voice was born for. But seeing this pretender get my job is more than I can take.
Oh, Jim, Martha, how long have you been standing there?
No, just a minute. Yeah. Not long.
Yeah. Well, Andy, apropos of nothing, Ed's audition for the BBC job is tomorrow, and he needs a coach. I thought Lady Edna Tweed Pratt was coaching him.
That didn't work out so well.
Yeah, Andy, Ed's waiting outside. I know you might have mixed feelings about helping him, but in a way, success for Ed is success for all of us, bringing glory to the name of Avenue G. Help him succeed, Andy, and you'll help yourself.
Help Ed succeed? Help Ed succeed? Of course I will. Just you wait. Just you wait.
Great. Thanks, Andy.
Ed, come on in. We'll leave you to it.
Good luck, guys.
Hi, Andy. Are you ready to make me sound credible? I learned a bunch of exercises from Lady Tweed Pratt. Want to hear me talk with marbles in my mouth?
That won't be necessary. I'm going to take a different approach.
Really? Different exercises?
In a way. Ed, you don't have enough time to lose your accent before the audition. So we're going to focus on what you say, not how you say it.
Okay, so what will I say?
To be believable to the British, you need to refer to certain things with quirky phrases.
You mean like saying lorry for a truck and lift for an elevator?
Sort of, but don't say lorry for truck and lift for elevator. The Brits will think you're pandering to them.
Okay, so what will I call a truck?
A wally wagon.
And an elevator?
A rocket box. And when you refer to the Queen, call her the old gal. The other royals should be called the buzzards, because they're all basically waiting for the Queen to die. And the Queen's corgis should be referred to as the crown jewels ruff-ruff.
Boy, the British sure have a strange sense of humor.
Oh yes, that's why instead of soccer, you should say girls' football. And you should insert the word superior in front of the words French, Irish, and European. And don't just say it, sing it.
Thanks, Andy. I never would have guessed.
And you'll need a catchy sign on and sign off. They're going to hear from your speech that you're from Philadelphia, so you might as well embrace it. Introduce yourself on air as the Philly Freak, Ed Feldman, and sign off by saying, tally-o, yous guys.
You're fantastic, Andy. For the first time since I started preparing for this audition, I really think I can nail it.
You're ready, Ed. Just remember everything I've told you, and the audition will turn out exactly as I've planned.
Thanks, Andy. Wish me luck.
Goodbye, Ed. Luck has nothing to do with it.
I wonder what's going on with Ed's audition. Thought we would have heard from him by now.
Maybe he's out drowning his sorrows.
Oh, don't sell yourself short, Andy. I'm sure with your coaching, he'll do well. Remember that time you helped me pass myself off as a Hungarian princess?
Martha, that was a Halloween party. You went as Ava Gabor.
I was Zsa-Zsa, darling, and I was very convincing.
Hey, everybody. Guess what? You're looking at the newest correspondent for the BBC.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Congratulations, Ed.
I don't understand. Did you say all the things I taught you?
You bet I did, buddy. I owe it all to you. I'd love to celebrate with you guys, but I'm flying to Paris tonight for my first assignment.
I go to France tonight, I go to France tonight, and then to Singapore. I'll drink some Pinot Noir while visiting the Loire, as long as they will pour. I'll make a stop along the Champs-Élysées, then to De Gaulle to catch my flight. I said, mon Dieu, mais oui, to voyage à Paris. I go to France, France, France tonight. I go to France tonight, I go to France tonight, and then to Singapore. I'll drink some Pinot Noir while visiting the Loire, as long as they will pour. I'll make a stop along the Champs-Élysées, then to De Gaulle to catch my flight. I said, mon Dieu, mais oui, to voyage à Paris. I go to France, France, France tonight.
It's time to fly. Say goodbye now, it's au revoir to Ed.
Entertainment Hour. This is Gordon Osmond Clutchett reporting for Entertainment and Arts. This week we take a closer look at the internet phenomenon and fellow BBC reporter, the Philly freak, Ed Feldman. Since joining the BBC 4 fortnights ago, Mr. Feldman has captivated BBC radio audiences with his singular patois and the Rush Belt charm of his regional American accent.
This is Philly freak Ed Feldman reporting from the grounds of Buckingham Palace, where the buzzards have gathered to mark the celebration of the old gal's 175th birthday. This is Philly freak Ed Feldman reporting from the World Cup in Madrid, where the superior Irish national team trounced Great Britain in girls' football, advancing to play the superior French team in a quarter-final match.
Mr. Feldman's catchphrases have spread like a veritable wildfire that no quantity of water could have ever extinguished. He is the subject of multiple memes and has been widely imitated, famously by young Prince George. Heard here.
Tell ye yes, guys.
And Her Majesty, Queen Elizabeth, her royal selves.
We have celebrated the Dodrin bicentennial of our birth with a quiet gathering of family and a lovely perambulation about Buckingham with the Crown Jewels Ruff Ruff.
Crown Jewels Ruff Ruff, indeed. This is Gordon Osmond Clutchett saying, tally yo, use guys.
BBC World Service.
Good morning, guys. I brought some bagels. So, Jim, what's on tap for today's show?
I thought we were going to do a feature on Ed and playing some of his latest clips from the BBC.
Come on, Jim. Ed's been gone for 3 months, and all you do on the show is talk about him and his new career.
But Andy, Ed's an internet sensation. He has a screaming meme status with 3 concurrent viral memes. Oh, listen up. It's time for the BBC.
This is BBC NewsHour. This is Gordon Osmond Clutchett with a live update. Effective tomorrow morning, popular BBC reporter, the Philly freak, Ed Feldman, will be getting the sack. A statement from BBC headquarters in London revealed that Feldman mistakenly received an employment acceptance letter intended for another applicant, who received the rejection letter meant for Mr. Feldman. PricewaterhouseCooper, the agency who handles employment notification for the BBC, will also be sacked.
Wow.
Poor Ed.
Anybody want a bagel?
BBC officials state, we regret the delay in employment for the legitimate candidate, Lady Edna Tweed Pratt, and the career-shattering embarrassment that this will undoubtedly cause Mr. Feldman. This is Gordon Osmond Clutchett for BBC NewsHour.
Hey, everybody.
Ed, hi. Welcome back. We just heard the bad news.
Ed, you poor thing. Come on in.
How you holding up, Ed?
Holding up? Are you kidding? I'm an internet sensation. I copyrighted all my catchphrases.
Your catchphrases?
And I have spokesperson offers from OxyClean and Lumable Toilet Light and Price Waterhouse.
No!
I thought Warren Beatty got the Price Waterhouse offer.
Well, I have an envelope with my name on it. But in any event, until tomorrow evening, I still have an expense account with the BBC. Let's go celebrate.
Yeah.
Woohoo.
Tally-ho.
No more trips to London. It really isn't fair. No more tea and crumpets while flying British Air.
Gonna can me in the morning. That's when the heads are gonna roll. While we can get it, max out my credit. Tomorrow I'll be on the dole. They're gonna can me in the morning. Come on before I'm in the hole. Let's have enjoyment before unemployment. Tomorrow I'll be on the dole. It's goodbye to the BBC. I can come back to Avenue G. For they're gonna can me in the morning. Turns out the job's not really mine. Stiff upper lippers, serve up the kippers. Come on, hurry up, come on, hurry up. For God's sakes, hurry, the job's not mine. They're gonna can me in the morning. Turns out the job's not really mine. No more top billing, I'm not worth a shilling. Turns out that the job's not mine. They're gonna can me in the morning. I'm bound for the unemployment line. Moan and bewail me, warm English ail me. It turns out that the job's not mine. Instead of starting, I'll ride the bench. There's no more lunching with Dame Judi Dench. They're gonna can me in the morning. Turns out the job not really mine. This really wrecks it, forces my Brexit. It turns out that the job, turns out that the job, I'd hate to say it, but the job's not mine.
Tonight's show was written by Mac Jekyll, Martha Michael, and Jim Harris, with signature delivery by Ed Feldman and the Mount Airy Players. Be sure to check out our prior shows on avenue-g.net. Subscribe to Avenue G on YouTube, and follow us on Facebook. This is your announcer, Andy Pettit, saying, tally-yo, yous guys.
Phantom House. It's the place for podcasts.